Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. Today, we are joined by Aniga Deshmukh, the go-to expert for CEOs and boards who wants results fast. With over 20 years leading at Fortune 100 giants and dynamic startups, Aniga simplifies complex decisions, aligns teams, and accelerates execution. Her systems thinking approach spans strategy, governance, innovation, and leadership development globally. Founder of PowerScripts LLC and The Tuning Fork, Aniga uniquely blends analytics and empathy, empowering leaders to transform insights into action. With an MBA in international business and an MS in engineering, she delivers clarity, confidence, and growth. I've asked her to join us here today to share her story and insights into how to unlock speed, drive results, and win at the top. So, Aniga, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's an honor to have you here. I'm excited to pick your brain and learn some of your insights. I enjoyed our pre-call. But before we get into any of that, I always want to ask, how did you even get started in business? Were your parents entrepreneurs? Are you carrying the family torch of entrepreneurship? Or how did you get into this crazy game?
This is a lovely, crazy game, actually. Yes, my parents are entrepreneurs, and I grew up in a business family. So I do believe that when you work for someone, it's great. You don't have to worry about anything. But in business, you can expand and you can touch more lives exponentially. So that is why I got into business. I worked in corporate America for a long time and realized that I have a lot more to give the world.
So you said you grew up with entrepreneurial parents. Did you help them out with those businesses? What did your parents do?
Yes, my parents had businesses when I was growing up, but the main thing that really influenced me is not their businesses, but what they do for giving. So my father feeds 1,500 children every day. He has a giving organization called Goodwill India in India, and they actually won the Guinness World Record as well for their initiatives in giving. And my mom also was an entrepreneur, and they had a lot of things they used to do for the community, which is really what impacted me more than the business side.
What do you mean? Can you expand on that?
Yes, absolutely. So as I was working in corporate America, you know, I had a great life, lots of things I learned and lots of things I gave to the organizations, and it was quite fun. But there was a sense of chaos in the mind still, because it was like you can give a lot more and there's so many people in corporate that are not fulfilled. You know, there's an underlying current that is going on. And my mind was always trying to find the root cause. This is one thing my father-in-law taught me. And he also was a CEO of a very big organization. So whenever I'd ask him, give me one thing that you want to teach your grandchildren, he would say, find the root cause. Don't fix the symptom. And so I was always looking for, you know, what's the root cause in corporate America? Like, what's going on? Why are all these people unfulfilled? Why are they preparing for board meetings like again and again and again? The same meeting we are having it 17 times. And really, I started to find the root cause, but also I was on a quest to fix it. And fix it not with just, you know, bringing in a consultant and doing some studies and exercises and workshops with people, but fix it in a much more profound way that is long lasting, right? Eradicate the root cause. And that is how I combined my passion of handwriting analysis, which was really from my grandfather's time. I learned all these things about handwriting and then I pursued it. And then I took my corporate leadership experience, the pain points there, and then the solution was handwriting analysis. So I work with CEOs now and find out really what's stopping their leadership team. What's stopping them from making these big decisions that they're really capable of making? And we find that through handwriting analysis. Handwriting can accurately reveal over 100 traits that cannot be seen by the computer-based tests. So those handwriting is literally a printout of your brain, and it's very accurate. So you find out things that people have not known about themselves. And the beauty of it is that you can fix everything, literally everything. Yes, of course, we can't fix a broken bone, but we can fix so many things with handwriting. And that is how I help CEOs and boards get faster decisions and clarity in thinking. And the results are immediate and they're long lasting. So that is why it's getting so popular now.
So, all right. So you started off helping your parents and helping give back to the community. You went to corporate. Now, why did you go to corporate? I mean, did you try having your own business earlier in the beginning? Like when you're helping your parents with their business, did you have your own shot? Or I guess you worked with your parents and their businesses and then you went to school and then can you walk me through your journey?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So my journey really began. I grew up in India. I went to engineering school in India because mom said that's what you need to do. Never questioned it. Listen to your parents. Went to engineering school, and then I got a scholarship to come to the US to pursue my master's in electrical engineering. You know, it was all paid for, literally everything from airfare and the fees for the master's in electrical engineering, you know, food paid for, everything paid for. There's no questions asked. Why would you not take this opportunity, right? So I took the opportunity. Really, you know, I had one engineering degree and I was like, that's it. I want to pursue something else in business. But then I got this other opportunity, took it. And then I had a scholarship from Cummins College of Engineering for Women. The engineering school that was sponsored, as I don't know if you know them, they make engines. So Cummins Corporation really sponsored our engineering college in India. So they would bring three women to the US and they would sponsor everything for them. And actually, I also got married into the Cummins family, literal sense. I've been married to my husband. We've been together for 25 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. When I came to the US, I ended up working for Cummins because they gave me an offer and it was, you know, they've done so much for me, so why would I not work for them? So that was just, you know, going with the flow. You came here to do your master's, got an offer, work with Cummins as something of gratitude. You know, you've given all this to me. Why would I not give it back to you? So I started working there, and then obviously Cummins treated me really well. You know, they gave me many opportunities in different functional areas to see what I like. And I got these opportunities were very fun. They were something that every senior executive would also aspire for, you know, going from portfolio management to learning Six Sigma to learning about supply chain and leading so many initiatives one after the other. You know, every 8 months they exposed me to more and more things in the organization. So it was very fun. And then
Wow.
I moved to a couple of other organizations after that. So that is my journey.
And then you decided to go it on your own.
Yes, my very last job was vice president of engineering and marketing, more so in product management. And you know, I traveled a lot, became a million miler, and saw everything there is in corporate America. Learned processes, learned what is there in engineering, program management, this, that. The problems are the same. You know, every board member is preparing for the board meeting, and every CEO is having their executives prepare for the board meeting, and really it trickles down all the way to the grassroots. So let's say a CEO is preparing for something on a Sunday afternoon. He's calling 10 people. Hey, what are the numbers? What are the numbers? Their people are calling their people, and their people are calling their teams. And in a literal sense, it trickles down all the way and affects even the children of the families that are working for that organization. So I had to find a solution and really eradicate this root cause that causes all the stress. And of course, yes, there are many training programs. They will tell you to do this a certain way, that a certain way. But then you forget what they taught you after like a month or two. And it was one concept they taught you. You tried to hold on to it. It became something in your organizational culture, but then people forgot about it. So this thing with handwriting is much deeper. What it does is it builds confidence in the minds of the executives. It tells them where they're held up. You know, some executives have fear of failure. Some have fear of success. Some have things like procrastination. You know, people talk about fear of failure, but think about this. Fear of success is also as big
Very
as fear
real.
of failure.
Yeah, because it's a new existence. So there's new pressures and new demands and possibly a lack of freedoms you enjoy right now due to responsibilities. So I agree with that 100%. So how did you get into what's your relationship with handwriting? I said your grandfather got you involved with it.
Yeah, my grandfather actually worked for the British. When the British ruled India, my grandfather worked for the British. And he had amazing handwriting. He never told me who taught him that, school or anything, but he had amazing handwriting. And the British displayed his handwriting on their board saying, this is what great handwriting looks like. And when I was young, my parents kept me with my grandparents. So my grandparents took care of me till I was, I think, 3 or 4 years old. And then my grandfather and I, we were separated. So he wrote letters to me. He lived in another state and I lived in another state. And back then we didn't have WhatsApp or, we didn't have Facebook or text messaging. So he wrote these traditional letters to me. And most of his letters, I still have them, they talk about handwriting. Okay. And
Really?
so to me, my grandfather is the most favorite person in the world. What does he talk about? Handwriting. That means I should have good handwriting. So I always enjoyed handwriting because it was something that brought I together in an emotional sense, literal sense as well. And everyone gifted me pens, and I have a huge collection of fountain pens ever since then. And then fountain pens, then actual jewelry.
That sounds like my household. We have stationary
Oh,
collections.
yeah.
So, okay.
And from there, I just started learning more and more about handwriting. And I'll tell you the funniest story here is engineering school. So I went to engineering school and I discovered, okay, when you write something, you remember it. So engineering school in India, I went to control systems engineering to do my bachelor's in control systems. And before the exams, you have 1 month to prepare for the exams. All these textbooks and all these things, question papers, and which chapter are you going to read first, this one or that one? So what I did is I knew the pen and the paper records everything in the brain. So I took my beautiful fountain pens, got very high quality paper. I took all these question papers from, all the years, and I wrote the answers down, like, to every question paper. I would look at three textbooks and write down the answers. So that is how I spent my 1 month. And then when I got a scholarship to come to the US, I took all those bundles of each subject and I gave it to somebody in the college because I didn't want to throw it away. It was so organized and it had so many subjects and it was like cool.
So many pens, yeah.
So I just gave it to someone because I was not prepared for coming to the US. It just all happened very suddenly. And then after 10 to 15 years, people started coming to me and saying, oh, we just discovered those notes in the library, those are yours. And for 3, 4 years, I had a lot of people approach me and talk about handwriting analysis. Like, why is your handwriting so good? Do you know handwriting analysis? Have you studied it? And it came to me so many times. I was pursuing it all along, of course, had great handwriting. And then it was like, that's it. So I started, it was always a hobby. I studied handwriting on the side. But when I went to corporate America, it was like, I have to bring a tool here to fix everything that's broken, something that is more deeper. And that is how things happened.
I got it. I love it. I love it. Now, what about some people that think it's kind of wooey woofoo handwriting analysis? What do you say to the detractors? If somebody's
Oh, absolutely. Actually, there are more detractors than believers. So 95% of the people I talk to, they're like, yeah, another thing like astrology. I don't know how accurate this is. So they're all very skeptical. But then when they actually get their analysis done, what they find is so deep that they are mind blown. There has not been one person who has come to me and not had an aha moment. So what blows their mind is you can tell all the health conditions, literally, pain in your left leg or right leg? Do you have blood pressure issues or thyroid issues? You can find out everything just from handwriting. And that is kind of a breakthrough moment for people when they are like, how do you know I am taking all these medications? So how do you know this happened to me? How do you know I had cancer? You looked me up online, didn't you? And I'm going, I smile and they know I did not look at them online. This is from their handwriting. So that is what really pivots people's minds. But I do tell them, when you're listening to this, when you're uncovering about your mind, don't, their mind goes into, is this accurate? Is this not? Is this accurate? Is this not? Yeah, this is accurate. What you found out. So actually, it's not like to test the handwriting analysis. It is to find out what you don't know about yourself. So I tell them, whatever you think is not accurate is actually where you want to focus, because that is the part you did not know about yourself. And let's dig deeper into it and let's find out why that happened. So that is really the beauty of handwriting, that you find out things that you did not know that were there and that was holding you back. And once you just cut off those chains, people literally propel forward so fast, they skyrocket. I had a person from Trinidad who came to me, and she didn't have a job for 15 years. She started working with us, and she got a job in 6 days without applying anywhere. 6 days. And this is a true story. 6 days. And she got a job as a general manager of a bank.
Wow, 15 years of non-experience. So how do those things, because Steve, like for example, Steve Jobs was obsessed with calligraphy. And I lived in Japan for 3 years, and I was really surprised to learn how much detail and focus they spend in Japan on writing. In fact, everybody knows those kind of kanjis. Everyone's seen people with kanji tattoos. There's a specific way to write it. Like it's not, for example, in English, you and I might write have different A's. We both write A, but in different ways. But in Japan, everyone's taught to draw everything the exact same way. All the letters of all the alphabet have to be drawn the exact same way. And so when I hear what you're saying, I start wondering about things like that. Like in Japan, is that just for trying to program people like robots? Is that because of some of what you claim? Like, that by fixing someone's handwriting, you can fix their personal issues. So, where can you speak to a little bit? How does this stuff come out in handwriting? How is it such a direct channel?
That's a wonderful question. So what happens is, let's talk about, let's say, letter A, okay? And we're talking about the letter A, and we have been taught the same way. You are in Japan, I'm in Japan. I know it's a different, it's not A, B, C, D, it's something different, but let's just take A as an example. We've been taught the same way. But if I have pain in certain areas of my body, I would not be able to write the A the way it is taught. It will look the same to people who don't know about handwriting analysis. It'll be like, oh yeah, these two A's are written the same way. But if you look deeper, you will find so many minute signs that will tell you that the person cannot write certain letters because of certain emotions they have or certain pains they have in their body, which reflects. Each emotion is caused due to something in your subconscious mind. So, for example, resentment. Why is resentment caused? And what does resentment do? Resentment causes cancer, right? It's that deadly. So, every emotion we hold, every emotion we carry affects our mind, and everything in our mind shows up in handwriting as a printout because our hand cannot make those motions. If the brain is not getting certain chemicals, if the wiring is in a certain way, our hand cannot make those shapes like they should be. So just from the letter T, we can tell more than 20 to 25 traits in one person, okay, just from one letter. And to other people, it's like, oh yeah, these two T's are the same, but we can tell so many things from just one letter.
It's interesting. I told you before in the pre-call, I read a book as a in my I don't know if it was my teens or early 20s on handwriting analysis because I was fascinated by the idea. I read at the time I went through a bunch of different books on different things. And it's there are tells. So I mean I'm semi-skeptical myself. But even when you said, for example, just a second ago, people can go back there watching the video to just now, your last thing that you said at the beginning. You said, for example, and you looked up and to the right, and the right is the creative part of the brain. And one of the things I learned too is that people give tells. People are full of tells. You learn this if you play poker. When you're making something up, you tend to look to the right. If you're being serious about something, you look to the right and down. If you're trying to recall a memory, you'll look to the left. And so those are simple things. If you are trying to determine whether someone's telling you the truth or lying, you're like, are they making something up or are they trying to recall a memory? And it's a simple, did they look left or right? And most people are completely unconscious of it. I used to be obsessed with micro expressions too. I did a micro expressions training program at the World Bank in Tokyo, just like a weekend workshop kind of thing. But there are tells in what people do.
My notes are here. That's why I'm looking on the right.
But there are tells. So I'm just curious. So my collection of experiences, emotions, and my physical state of being emotionally and physically influence my motor control of this pen. And from that, you can reverse engineer essentially some of these things. And then how do you fix them?
Yes, so just by telling you that, oh, write this letter in this way, that's not how it happens. You have to practice the letter multiple times. But also, along with the letter, there are patterns for stress removal. There are patterns to bring consistency. There are patterns to bring harmony. All these emotions, there are patterns to take care of them. And basically, when you're doing those patterns, what's happening is your hand is sending that signal back to the brain and it's programming it, it's reprogramming it. That's all there is. It's very simple. And scientists at Harvard and some top colleges have uncovered all these sciences. And it was actually originally uncovered by Camillo Baldi in 1622, who was an Italian scientist. And he made all these observations. And now it's used in every court of law, literally across the world. Every court of law accepts graphology. But we have just taken it to a different angle, and we are helping people in corporate settings by understanding the science, but not just understanding, leveraging it to create real change. And what you see is, I have somebody I worked with, and he was from Minnesota, now lives in Puerto Rico. He had a motorcycle accident, and he was driving, he was going for therapy for 2 years, and he said he was in constant pain. He started working with me, and he came to me for his shoulder pain, but I saw cancer in his handwriting. And he said, I just got over cancer treatment. So when I started working with him, he never told me he wanted to work on shoulder pain. But we started working. Then he said, yes, I want to work on shoulder pain. And I told him, within 30 days, you should see a big difference. And the second day, he saw a difference. He didn't say anything to me. But then when I asked him for how are things going, send me a review or something, text me, he said, on the second day, my pain was gone. And I've been going to therapy like for the last 1.5 year after my motorcycle accident. I was in constant pain. And he was in awe, like, how does this stop shoulder pain in 2 days? So believe it or not, this is all caused by the brain.
It's caused by the brain. Yeah. Okay. So it is all caused by the brain. Some people wonder if we're living in a hologram that our brain reflects. I mean, we can go real deep into that. So he's practicing the patterns, and there's a pattern for. So is there a pattern for everything? Like, is it almost like prescription medicine? Like
It
you
is
got.
like prescription medicine, and it's not like take your shoulder pain, take this, take that. It's not like that. You really have to find out what's going on in the entire perspective, in a holistic perspective of the person. And the same thing that fixes the leadership issues are the same work that you're going to do is going to fix your health issue. The same thing is going to fix your relationship issue, okay? So when people do this, they say, oh, well, my business got so many clients. I have an investor in Connecticut who worked with us, and his portfolio tripled in 2 months. And I thought, whoa, the tripled in 2 months, his portfolio. So when people work with us, it's not just the health that improves, it shows up in their business. The first thing they see is in their career, because that's how people measure themselves, right? Then they start seeing things in their health. And then they start seeing things in their relationships. Relationships are last. People talk about them all the time, but really they observe things in their relationships the last. And then they come to you and they're like skeptical. I think so and so happened. That is why my relationships are changing. I think it's what my dad said to my cousin. But actually, it's not that. You know, you have worked on yourself, and the way you see the world is different, and your frequencies are different. And the moment your frequencies are different, you operate at a completely different level. You think about the world in a different way. So that is the magic behind it. With handwriting, you're reprogramming your brain, you're increasing your frequencies. And at a higher frequency, you attract higher things, right? This everyone knows about this, right? Tony Robbins talks about it, Jack Canfield talks about it, everyone talks about it. So it's pure science. You just increase your frequency. There, all the higher things come to you. And the relationships automatically get fixed. The way you see things is completely different after that.
Very interesting. So, what are some of the biggest mistakes people are making in their handwriting? Or perhaps in general?
So in general, what people are doing is they focus on adding more skills. Okay, something's not
Hmm.
working. Let's go find a coach. Let's add more skills. So the biggest mistake here is that instead of adding skills, you want to look at what's holding you back. And these are hidden traits, okay? Things like paranoia. No computer-based test is going to tell you paranoia is holding you back because you're paranoid. And that's why you're asking your team to have 10 meetings to go through the same data, but on different formats of presentation. Nobody's going to tell you that. But imagine just by fixing one leader's trait that is holding him back, how many people it affects in the organization. Everyone is affected by it. So it's that profound. That's the biggest mistake people are making. They're looking for skills and not for what's holding them back. Because every human has great potential. And that's what they need to realize. What are the chains holding my potential back? And then you just cut off those chains. Simple.
Wow, that's it makes it sound almost too easy. So, are there any sort of hygiene habits like when you get into handwriting? I mean, for yourself, are you checking your handwriting every day? Are you, I mean, obviously, you must, I guess, what are sort of the habits? Like, is this you just do it once and you're better? You know what I mean? Is this something you have to continually work at?
Yeah, like some people say, it's like brushing your teeth, right? You brush your teeth every day. It's like that. So you can do this exercises every day. They help you a lot. Even before you're going for a speaking assignment, we help a lot of people who are going to investor meetings right before the investor meetings to help them with some fluidity of thoughts or their confidence. They're standing in front of people. They want to be confident. They don't want to second guess themselves. When they're confident, their speech is much more different. So we help them with those patterns behind the scenes before they go and stand up in front of investors or big speeches that they want to deliver. So it is ongoing. We don't stop it. What happens is the neural pathways. With typing, we've lost all these neural pathways, the beauty there is to offer with those. When you write with your hand, you're programming your neural pathways. Like you go to yoga all the time. You don't go to yoga once and you say, "Oh, I'm flexible now." It's ongoing. Or you
If
go to the health
only
club and
I would love to have to stop going to the gym. People are like, you must really like the gym. I hate it, but I love the results. That's why I go, you know.
Exactly. Like you said, it's a mental gym. That's all it is. So you have to keep going.
Yeah, no, writing is a powerful activity in and of itself. Because as you're writing, it's a slower thing than obviously than typing. So you're thinking about what you're writing. You have to focus more. You do it with intent when you go to write. Like even as we've been talking and I take notes, I'm like, oh, I want to write that down. So I capture it out of the air. I'm holding it in my mind and then I'm writing it down and I have to remember what I'm writing. But if you need to type something, they've already done, I think they've done studies on that there's less retention when people just type. And there is a connection that we're missing. There's some sort of value to that. So I guess, where do you see the future of this going? I mean, where do you think things are headed in terms of your industry, but also how this impacts the corporate world? Do you see AI impacting this in any way, shape, or form? Like, where are things going in your crystal ball for 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, you bring up a great point about AI. Actually, a lot of people have invited me for the speaking on AI and the human brain, what's going to happen here, and talk about handwriting, how it can help. And really, in this age of AI, all the businesses that are there, they're going to see the same things. You type certain things, there's nothing that is going to differentiate them other than their talent. So people are using handwriting to hire right. They're looking for organizational fit rather than skills. Most organizations in the past, using computer-based testing and interviews, traditional interview methods, what we look for is skills. Now, what you can do with handwriting analysis is you can look for something else, not just skills, but you can also look for organizational fit. And by organizational fit, the way we do it is when we work with organizations, first we sit down and we understand what is the culture of your organization? What are the values? Values are very important. We tell them, put values together before your business plan. And I learned this from Ivan Meisner, who is the founder of BNI. if you know BNI. And he taught me this one thing, which is so profound. It changed so many things for me, that first work on your values. And that's the same thing we do with organizations. We identify their values. Then we help them hire for those values. Basically, what happens is it's a puzzle piece fitting together. When you hire the right candidate with the right organizational fit, what that means is this person is suited for this culture. And you can tell from handwriting whether this person has these traits that the hiring manager is looking for or not. And of course, that person came there, the resume got filtered because those skills were there. So that is how, in the age of AI, organizations can create differentiation about who they are and hire talent. The real talent is going to differentiate them. It's not going to be the skills, it's not going to be the data, because AI is going to have the same data all over, after a while. But what's going to truly stand out for the organization is its people.
I think that's true. I mean, they've been saying that we don't need humans forever. When tractors came out, we don't need farmers. When calculators came out, we don't need mathematicians. When spreadsheets came out, we don't need accounting departments. When QuickBooks came out, we're not going to need CPAs. And really, all it's been is an evolution of tools. There's been reskilling, retooling. This is, I think, a massive worldwide phenomenon that's unrolling, and it might be less predictable and faster coming. But honestly, for me, I don't see it as anything different. I don't know if you know this, but you can look up videos of the moment sperm and the egg meet online. When the moment the sperm and all these fertility clinics, they're putting sperm and egg together in petri dishes or whatever. And when that happens, there's a literal flash of light. And I didn't know that. And when I found it out and I saw it for myself, I felt impacted by it because to me, that was proof that we have a spark inside of us. There is a spark inside of you. There's a spark inside of me. We all have our own, like this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Like I have a little light inside of me. That's how I started. And I just don't believe that we created intelligence out of sand. Okay. We took sand and made silicone and then made intelligence with computers and AI. But I just don't know if we're doing that. I don't know if that's happening in the server room, if there's like a flash of light and now we have a conscious sentient being, or if we're just really good at creating tools and almost like a very sophisticated search engine. I mean, that's where we're at right now, is that none of this is really creating anything new, unique. It's being trained on insane amounts of data. That doesn't mean that it's got a soul. That doesn't mean it's sentient. And so I fully agree on that the people will always be the differentiator, and the quality of your people and the alignment of your brand. I think, I mean, I'm on a bit of a soapbox here, but I agree with what you said wholeheartedly in that sense that I don't think we're going to stop driving the bus. I don't think we've built a bus that we're like, you know what? We're just going to lay in the bed and fall asleep and die, and the bus is going to drive itself wherever it wants to go. Like, I just don't see that. That doesn't make any sense to me. I think we're already cyborgs. You and I, right now, we're talking from different sides of the planet and using all sorts of things that humans prior to us built. I don't know. I couldn't figure out how to make this mic. I couldn't figure out how to make a fiber optic cable that runs through the ocean to connect us. So when I talk, you can hear it with just a couple of seconds delay. But I just think these are new tools. So I think it's really, really powerful. So you're saying hamring analysis is a powerful tool to use in recruiting and perhaps even ongoing management team training.
That is accurate. Yes, that is the two places we are using it very widely. Even when I am hiring people on our team, I ask them for just write a few lines on why you think this is the best organization for you. And they write beautiful things, but I never look at what is written. I look at their handwriting. I look at whether these people are honest, whether these people can get things done, whether they're loyal. We look at our values. Our business values are respect, integrity. We look at those things. Can this person respect others, or does he have resistance to authoritative figures? So we look for those things. And if the values match, then yes, you can fit in our organization. They won't have everything perfect. We look at the values as a filter.
Is this something that would benefit a small business owner for the same reason?
Absolutely, absolutely. They will save so much money in recruitment, and the cycle goes so fast. You don't have to sit and interview every candidate and dig deeper and have discussions and have multiple panels interview them. Before all that, you can just check their handwriting and you can tell exactly what's going on. And then you look at the skills and if that person fits in your organization for values. If that person is a good fit, bring directly to your team, your panel. The thing here is that what happens is on computer-based tests, you find certain things. You hire the person. That person looks very good. He has a high determination. Let's hire him. Or he has a high influencer. Let's hire him as a salesperson. That's about the limit you can go to. But now with handwriting, you can tell if a person is loyal or not. Can you tell that from the other test? Probably not. Does he have fear of success? Is he honest? Is there integrity? So these things cannot be understood by the traditional tests. And when I'm just going through these handwritings, even for our organization, we get all these handwritings done. We know exactly who to bring in because we are hiring for attitude and values. And then we look at the skills. Does this person have the skills? If not, we will teach him some things that he doesn't have. But when you bring in the right candidate, they thrive. If they fit in your organization, they believe like you do. They believe in serving people. Our organization believes in humility. That's our third value. We believe in serving people honestly and genuinely. When we see that as in a person, he's generous with his time, he's generous with his asset, something more about this person. So we bring them in and then we teach them things that are lacking. If he doesn't have certain one or two skills that are required for the job, we are more than willing to teach him rather than hiring someone in a compromised way who has lack of integrity, which doesn't fit in our values. We know that person won't stay. So what happens is small business owners don't see that. And they go and they spend money hiring that person, training that person, believing in that person, giving that person all your passwords, right? And then, oops, you find out something completely different about this person after 2 months, and that person is not with them. And then the small business owners are so sad because they're small business owners. They don't have a whole bunch of resources to just give away like that. Plus, their time is the biggest resource. They spend so much time with this candidate and they find out something completely different after 2 months. That does not happen. You hire right first time. You save in money. You save your own time. You save so much for even everyone else in your organization by bringing in the right person. If you bring in the person who doesn't have the values of your organization, sometimes the other person stirs the pot and then you don't know what's going on. You don't know. Then you bring in another person, a trainer from outside. Hey, something's going on in my organization. Please try to fix it. And there's a training and there's some workshops that happen. But that is sometimes caused by just one leader. You bring in who fits, it all fits.
So how does it work? I mean, do I have to write an essay? Does my team have to write an essay? What, is
No,
this fed into a computer? How is it analyzed? Is there like a
Not an
matrix?
essay. So in Europe, what they do is this is very commonly used in Europe, in Switzerland and France. They just look at the signature. And even from the signature, we can tell a whole bunch of things. Yeah. I was actually just 2 weeks ago, I was with my friends in Amsterdam, and they use this quite commonly there. What we do here is we give a small paragraph. We have the same paragraph because we have the letters and everything measured there. And our analysts exactly know how many A's are there and how many Z's are there in that pattern. So we give them the paragraph. But certain organizations push back and they say, this is not what we want our people to write. So we just tell them, write why you want this job or tell us about your hobbies. Write anything. We don't read what is written. We look at the letters, we look at the strokes, we look at the margins, we look at the pressure. We look at these other things that the general public doesn't see. And then we tell the hiring manager, this is what this person can bring to the table. And no person is negative. No person is evil. Nothing like that. You just have to match the values of the organization and then bring the person. You save so much money. You save so much time. It's unbelievable. And you have to go through the process yourself. And sometimes we also use it with outplacement agencies where those people don't know why they lose their job again and again and again. Why is the same pattern repeating? So they come to us and we help them. Ah, that's what it was. I had resistance to authority. That's why I didn't get along with any of my bosses. Oh, okay, I get it now. Can you fix it for me? Of course, yes. And that's how it works.
That sounds like a wonderful thing. It's definitely so. How do people, if they're interested, if they're curious, I mean, I'm curious. So if they're curious, what are some of the best ways for them to try it out to get involved,
Yes, they can give us their sample, come to us, and we would be happy to do their handwriting analysis for them. And they would know so much more. So just knowing what is holding them back is half the battle won. right?
Is
Just
this,
knowing
do I have
that.
to do it in person? Is this something I have to be in person
No,
to deliver the paper that I
completely
vote on?
online. Actually, my neighbor across the street, she wanted to do it. And she said, I'm going to come to you in person. I said, please don't, just send it to me online because our analysts are all over the world. So we have a team of analysts. And we, for particular things for corporates, we have one analyst. For another legal things, we have another analyst. So we have different analysts on our team. And we do everything online. Even if you are my neighbor, we will still do a Zoom meeting online.
So where do they go if they want to learn more, if they want to get in touch?
We can give them a link to our website and they can sign up there, give us their sample, and get started.
Now, is it Tuning Forks? Is that the place, best place to go, or?
No, it is anagadeshmukh.com. It is my first name and my last name.com, and they can contact us through that.
Okay.
If when they contact us, we will send them a link to send their samples and get started with us. It's super simple. It's such a fast and speedy process. And that is the other reasons why corporates like it, because you just need to write one page. Well, that's it. It took me
Yeah.
3 minutes and you can tell everything about me. No, let me write more lines. Like, no, this is enough.
So for people who want to learn more info, you can go to anagashamkh.com. That's anagasha Anaga dash DESHMUKH.com. So go check out anagadeshmukh.com. Go check it out. Go contact her. Go get your handwriting analyzed. And I got this has been a very interesting call. It's rekindled the old interest that I had. Again, like I said, in a long time, and I'm definitely fascinated by the idea. Is there anything I haven't asked you that I should have asked you?
You covered most of the things,
That was very thorough. You took a long pause there. I've done like 600 interviews, and you probably took the longest pause out of 600 interviews to like, did he? Let me like checking notes. Okay, well, it's been an honor and a pleasure. I'm looking at my writing right now, going, oh my goodness, what is here on this page? So those again for checking this out. Go check out anagadeshmukh.com, anagashamukh.com. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. This is super fascinating. I imagine it'd be incredibly helpful, especially for the people that are completely unaware of what's holding them back. People don't know what they don't know. So there's a lot of points of interest in this for sure, 100%. So thank you for coming and sharing with all of us. You're appreciated.
Thank you so much, Daryl, for having me on the show. I truly enjoyed it.